If you take out a short-term, high-interest loan, can you afford to pay it back? That's the question that the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau said lenders must be able to determine under an Obama-era payday loan regulation. That rule was set to go into effect this August, but earlier this month, the CFPB proposed abandoning it. And that would mean consumers could be on the hook for loans they can't afford. Advocates have criticized the payday lending rollback, and Senator Elizabeth Warren released a statement saying the change gives the payday lending industry free rein to squeeze consumers and catch them in cycles of debt. It's part of the Trump administration's latest effort to deregulate the agency, which was born out of the ashes of the financial crisis back in 2011.
We cut the bureaucracy and put one consumer watchdog in charge with just one job, looking out for regular people in the financial system. And this is an idea that I got from Elizabeth Warren.
That was President Obama announcing Richard Cordray as the CFPB's first director. And here's Cordray on his first day on the job back in January of 2012.
Hidden fees and exploding interest rates have infected more products and services. Novel and exotic mortgages battered housing markets and triggered the financial crisis that wrecked the economy and hurt millions of people. With the stakes so high, consumers need better information about the costs and risks of borrowing.
Now in its eighth year, the CFPB is under new leadership with Director Kathy Kraninger, who previously served in the Trump administration's Office of Management and Budget. She's faced a lot of opposition from Democrats for what they say is a lack of experience.
Have you ever worked at a bank or a credit union?
Senator, I have not.
Have you ever had oversight or regulated a bank or a credit union?
No, Senator, I have not.
And have you ever been responsible for oversight or leadership in supervising payday lenders?
No, Senator, I have not.
Kraninger being grilled by former Senator Heidi Heitkamp at her confirmation hearing. I'm Tanzina Vega, and talking about protecting your money is where we start the conversation, here on The Takeaway. Jesse Eisinger is a senior reporter and editor at ProPublica, and he's been covering the evolution of the CFPB under the Trump administration, and he joins me now in studio. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And I'm also joined by someone with firsthand experience at the agency. Christopher Peterson is a former special advisor to the director at the CFPB from 2012 to 2016, and he's currently a law professor at the University of Utah. Thanks for being with us, Christopher.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So, Jesse, we just talked at the top of the segment that this payday lending rollback rule hasn't gone into effect yet, but give us a little bit of the backstory behind this rule.
Sure. Well, payday lenders are a particularly exploitative industry. They prey on desperate people who need small loans, and they charge extremely high interest rates in the 300 to 600% annually. The other thing about them that you really have to understand is that the industry says, we are the kind of people who tide people over. You're going to get paid on Friday. You need a couple hundred bucks on Wednesday. We tide people over and give them a short-term loan. That's not really the way the industry works, and it's not really the way they make money. What they do is they get people who can't actually pay that loan back on Friday. They're not coming in with a paycheck that they have money to spare with. And so they roll those loans over and they take out 6, 8, 10 loans a year. The interest rate really climbs and becomes a debt trap.
And a lot of the folks that are taking these loans out are people who are living paycheck to paycheck, like you said, are sort of trying to fill that short-term gap. So these aren't folks that have a lot of wealth or a lot of ability to pay these loans back, right?
No, I mean, that's actually most Americans don't have 400 bucks to tide them over in an emergency. These are particularly people in tough straits who might not have steady paychecks, might not have steady work hours. This is the kind of thing that, lives in an America that most, WNYC or ProPublica listeners and readers don't really see, but it's millions and millions of people in, storefronts on strip malls around the United States.
Chris, you joined the CFPB in 2012, and I'm wondering, we're starting the show here talking about this bureau that I think a lot of Americans will go, oh God, Consumer Financial Protection, what is this? Eyes rolling in the back of head, Chris. But what was the goal of this bureau? Tell us, wasn't this meant to protect us, average everyday Americans?
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you have to transport yourself back to the financial crisis and the aftermath of all of these unaffordable mortgage loans being made across America, millions and millions of families being expelled from their homes. One of the largest, if not the largest, forced migration of Americans in our history. The simple fact is that these financial products have a profound impact on the daily lives of people. And when they don't work out well, they can have such serious consequences for families, disrupting the ability of children to get an education, go to school, disrupting the ability of people to have shelter or access to transportation. It's absolutely critical in a modern society that we have some reasonable rules and limitations on the ability of financial institutions and other kinds of businesses, including payday lenders, to take advantage of people or engage in hidden tricks or traps or deceptive fees. That's absolutely crucial to whether or not we're going to succeed as a country.
And I'm wondering also if you can tell us a little bit, Chris, about the different types of rules or approaches that you all took to try and help consumers. The payday lending, essentially, you're saying payday lenders have to make sure that the person getting the loan can pay for it. If that rule is not implemented, what happens then?
Well, sure. I mean, first off, taking a step back, I mean, the CFPB, the first thing that it did is started enforcing the law. While I was there, the team of attorneys that were assembled by Director Cordray managed to return about $12 billion in consumer refunds and restitution to consumers. And the overwhelming majority of those cases came where the bank or financial institution or payday lender or other financial business said something that was untrue to their borrowers. They were misleading and deceiving their customers. And so that was the first thing, is to start trying to create some honesty and integrity in the marketplace. With respect to payday loans, it became clear after years and years of study that these financial products were not being used by customers that could actually afford to repay the debts, and they were rolling over their loans again and again. And that's a problem for people. Being exposed to 400, 500, 600% interest rates over a long period of time is destructive to a family's ability to save for retirement, to make payments on their rent or their car payments. And so it made sense that we needed some sort of regulation that would guarantee that payday lenders would determine whether or not borrowers had a reasonable ability to repay their debts without defaulting on all their other existing obligations and still having enough money left over at the end of the day to meet their basic family needs.
Jesse, let's talk a little bit about the Trump administration's approach to this bureau. We just heard at the top of the segment the Senate confirmation hearing for Kathy Craninger, who's now the permanent head of the CFPB, has not had a lot of experience with financial products, personal finance. What is the administration's goal with this bureau?
Well, I mean, to take a step back just a little bit, the Trump administration overall has led a very efficient effort to roll back regulations at the EPA, at the FDA, at the Interior, a wide variety of regulatory agencies. And so you see this kind of White House in a shambles, chaos with a weak president. But beneath the surface, at the administrative level, it's highly efficient. And the CFPB probably is the best example of that. So Trump installed Mick Mulvaney, the head of the Office of Management and Budget, as his first director. Cordray was a holdover for a little while. He got out, and Mulvaney was highly efficient at rolling back a number of the CFPB's initiatives and then shutting down essentially their enforcement efforts. He left, and Kathy Craninger came in from OMB, and she's an apparatchik. She's a non-entity, and in fact, such a non-entity that they couldn't really muster any opposition to her among Democrats, aside from, a few tough questions, because no one knew anything about her. And she was kind of kindler and gentler face. Mulvaney was like a troll, basically. He did a lot of things to purposely poke the eye of the CFPB and provoke liberal tears. And Craninger has come in, and she's a much more sort of soft-spoken person. She rolled back some of the superficial things that Mulvaney had done, like change the name of the agency from the CFPB to the BCFP.
And what's the BCFP? What does that mean?
That was literally in the statute, the Dodd-Frank overhaul. It called for a Bureau of Consumer Financial Protection. And so Mulvaney said, well, I believe in the literal letter of the law.
Okay.
And so we need to change the rule, which was going to actually cost banks millions and millions of dollars to change the letterhead in their computer programs. It was a completely meaningless and useless change, but he did meaningful changes too. She rolled that back very wisely.
I'm wondering, Chris, if you can tell us, where are Americans right now financially? We keep hearing from this administration in part that the economy is doing really well, unemployment is down, but are American consumers really in the clear, Chris?
Well, it's much more complicated than that. I mean, it is the case that the unemployment numbers are down and that the stock market has been bouncing around but is overall probably doing reasonably well. But behind that, there is a much more problematic story. So, for example, just last week, the New York Federal Reserve Bank issued some new numbers that, you know, people like me follow pretty closely, and it had some horrifying information. There are now 7 million Americans that are more than 90 days late on a car loan. That's about the time when they're going to be facing, you know, having their car repossessed by the bank or credit union or securitization trust that is the owner of that debt. That is happening right now, today. Those families are still in crisis. So is the economy doing that well? Well, it depends on who you ask. Billionaires are doing well. Millionaires are doing pretty well. But there are millions of American families that are on the precipice of losing access to transportation because their basic financial products are not working for them.
You mentioned the billionaires out of the world right now, and I think we're surrounded a lot. We're hearing a lot about a lot of money in our politics and a lot of money in our potentially in our presidential race. And I'm just thinking this CFPB was really meant to protect average consumers, not the billionaires. And it worries me that some of these regulations are being rolled back. Is there any hope for non-billionaire Americans who need these protections?
I sure hope so. I mean, one silver lining is that this Consumer Protection Agency, it still exists. And there's still, you know, over 1,000 employees that are there trying to do their best for the American public. Right now, my sense is that the political leadership of the agency is in a very serious way standing as an obstacle to the agency doing its job, but they are still bringing law enforcement cases from time to time, and they're still conducting examinations of banks and other financial institutions around the country. So I do think there's still the potential for this to be an effective agency, but it simply is the case that the number of law enforcement cases, the penalties and restitution that are coming out of those enforcement cases has declined. And this rollback of the rule on payday lending is a very troubling signal about whether or not the agency is going to take its consumer protection mission seriously in the coming years.
Jesse Eisinger is a senior reporter and editor at ProPublica, and Christopher Peterson served as a special advisor at the CFPB from 2012 to 2016 and is a current law professor at the University of Utah. Thanks to you both.
Thanks a lot.
Hey, thanks for having us.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.